In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Yeah, that's right. Alan Adams is here to talk movies, brought to you by the Bangor Drive-In. Alan, good Monday to you, my friend.
And a good Monday to you as well, sir.
How was that weekend thing?
Oh, it was all right. How was yours? Happy Father's Day, by the way, to you and Carrie both.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was good. I'm happy to have that heat wave behind us. I did not particularly enjoy the 90s all that much.
It's not what you want, for sure. It's dialing it back a little bit. If we could just hang out in the low 70s for about 3 months, I'd be pretty comfortable with that. But it's not looking like that's how it's going to go.
No, but I'll take 80. That's okay. I just, 94, 95, not so good. I never know what to do with the car. We don't have a lot of shade near the house to park the car in. You crack the windows. What do you do? Either way, you get in, it's about 140 in there.
Yes, it sure is. It sure is.
Ginger doesn't care for that. I know that much.
Yeah, no, Stella's not a big fan of the heat either.
A lot of time on the floor. I don't need a rug. Just get a tile floor, especially stretch right out.
Tile floors are good. Hardwood.
Yep.
Well, we've got critters laying in every possible conceivable cool spot in this house right now.
Yeah, they got a leg up. They're a little smarter than we are. Well, we've got three movies to talk about this week. So let's get to them. Where would you like to begin?
Let's get the less interesting offering out of the way first. So I watched a movie called Exit Plan, and I wasn't super familiar with it. They reached out with a screener to ask me to check it out. So I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll give it a look. Why not? It stars Nicolaj Coster-Waldau, Jaime Lannister from Game of Thrones, and it's it's a movie that has a lot of ideas that are sort of bubbling away, but for whatever reason, it's not particularly well realized. The basic gist is we meet a guy named Max Isaacson. He's an insurance investigator. We meet him in this sort of video missive at the very beginning of the movie, where he indicates that he's about to die. And so from there, we flash back. We learn about his job, about his relationship. He's got a girlfriend, who they clearly love each other very much. And we also learn that he's suffering from a brain tumor. It's an inoperable tumor that's going to cause him to die fairly quickly, painfully, and with some very drastic changes in his personality and quality of life and whatnot. So he decides he has no other recourse, fails a couple of times to take his own life. So we very quickly become clear. It becomes clear that he's not going to be able to manage this on his own. And so it all seems hopeless, but then he has this meeting with one of his clients who's been trying for months to collect on the life insurance policy of her husband, who's disappeared some months earlier. But she finally has proof, and it's this video from him where he explains that he's gone to this place for assistance in committing suicide. The place is called Hotel Aurora, bills itself as a beautiful ending. And it's basically this fancy suicide resort hidden away in the mountains. So our man Max is like, well, that's what I want. And so he makes his way there and books his own ending. However, it becomes clear that there's maybe some shady stuff going on at the Hotel Aurora. A few unexpected conversations and a few wrong turns. And he winds up having a lot of questions and not being sure of anything, including if this is what he wants, and if he's actually here of his own volition. It's boring. It's a boring movie. Rich. It's plotting. I'm not averse to a leisurely pace. Like, that could certainly work, but there has to be something dynamic to make up for the absence of urgency there. And there just isn't any of that. Plus, you've got this really disjointed timeline. Again, I'm not beholden to linear narratives, but if you fracture the chronology too much, it's difficult to follow, and then the lines blurring between past and present, it just gets very muddy. Now, granted, visual style is pretty good, and there are some stretches where the story is kind of compelling. The reality is, like, either of these narratives, either this guy's life and efforts to take his own life, or this weird, like, hotel Aurora place, like, either of those would probably make for a better, like, standalone movie than trying to put them together. And again, like, there's some seeds here for some thoughtful discourse. I mean, the notion of state-sanctioned euthanasia has been a topic of debate all over the world for a very long time, but it really never comes through. Custer Waldo, he's good. Like, he's a charismatic dude, although he's wearing big glasses and a mustache to make himself, well, an insurance investigator. It's a movie that where you wonder what might have been. Like, there is something excellent here, but it just never comes together. One of the things I learned when I was researching was they changed the name for the American audience. Before it was called Exit Plan, it was called Suicide Tourist.
Oh, dear.
yeah. You know, and it's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, at least that's a killer band name at the very least. the reality is, like, I think I might have liked a movie called Suicide Tourist a little bit better.
Oh, well, all right, there you go. So much for Exit Plan. What's up next?
So this was a really interesting one. So I watched this documentary called Shoot to Marry, and it sounds weird on its surface. So it's this Canadian filmmaker by the name of Steve Markle, what he's done is he filmed. It's basically a filmed record of his own search for love. He had his heart broken. Proposed to his longtime girlfriend. She said yes, and then the next day came back and was like, you know what? I don't think this is going to work. And so he was really crushed, and so he wasn't really sure what to do next, trying to move forward. So he reaches out and reconnects with an old crush named Kate, this artist living in Los Angeles, to shoot a documentary about her work. He's trying to just lose himself in his work. But in the course of doing that, he realizes that he may have stumbled onto this sort of heretofore unconsidered idea to meet women. He's going to make a movie about it. And so basically what he does is he spends all this time, like, reaching out to just dozens of unique and fascinating women and bringing them in to talk about love and relationships, while also harboring a secret plan to potentially find romance with one of these women. And we're talking about, like, you know, artists and models and writers and lumberjacks and pilots and hat designers and professional cuddlers, like, just this crazy collection of women from all across the spectrum. Like, they're all strong, very smart, very interesting and engaging, and they're all on the record about the power of their passion in their lives. And along the way, we also get a lot of insight into Markle himself. He's this very self-deprecating and goofy dude who wants desperately to be loved, but isn't quite sure he deserves it. So there's this sad sack charm and an indefinable awkwardness that makes him really easy to root for. But yeah, his basic goal has always been he wants to meet someone that he where they can enter into matrimony, where they can get married. And look, I know this is the sort of movie that could have taken a very unpleasant sort of turn, just because of the sort of kind of disingenuousness of the basic premise. But it really is coming from a very heartfelt and nice place. And he's all of these people are clearly very, very taken with him, and his charms. And they find him very, very engaging, and you'll find him very engaging when you watch. It's really interesting. And again, like I said, I was a little concerned about the premise when I sat down to it. But it does get a little squirmy in a couple of places, but there's just a fundamental niceness of this dude. And so it is awkward and weird in a lot of places, but it never feels like gross or exploitive. And, you know, and so that's, yeah, it's short. It's like 75 minutes long, but that's long enough for you to really grow fond of this guy, you know, and he's a one man crew. Like, he spent 5 years of his life, you know, making this movie, which won the audience award at Slam Dance this past year. It's the sort of movie where you'll find yourself chuckling and maybe shaking your head a little bit and being like, "Oh, that's Steve." It shouldn't work. Like, the movie shouldn't work, but it does, and I think that's a credit to both the filmmaker and his talents.
Excellent. All right, and let's move to our third film of the week. Alan Adams with us here on Downtown. Tell us about 7500.
So this one was kind of a late arrival. Like, I didn't realize. I didn't know about this movie until maybe a week ago. Like, I didn't realize it was, like, it just sort of slipped onto the onto my radar. It's currently streaming, and it's available for free if you're a subscriber to Amazon Prime Video. But it's this really interesting thriller. It's the story of a pilot confronted with an attempted hijacking, and the sort of hook is the movie takes place almost exclusively inside the cockpit of an airliner.
Hmm.
Like, there's a brief prologue where we're sort of introduced to some of the players via like the like closed circuit security cameras at the airport. But from there, we spent almost the entire movie in the cockpit, and so. There's this incredible sort of claustrophobia to it, and it's one of the more actively tense movies that I think I've seen in a long time. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt stars. He hasn't done anything since Snowden back in 2016, and so it was really interesting to see him back on the stage on the screen. It's a first time feature writer director guy named Patrick Volrath. And so Gordon-Levitt plays Tobias Ellis, who's an American pilot, and he's the co-pilot on this flight from Berlin to Paris. He also aboard is his girlfriend, who's a flight attendant. They try not to work the same flights, but this time they wound up together. Right now, their biggest concern is finding the right school for their son. Takeoff's uneventful, a little bit of turbulence, but it looks to be a fairly typical flight. But again, we know what the crew doesn't, which is thanks to that prologue, is that, you know, something bad is coming. And the bad something is a group of hijackers who make a move on the cockpit. Two of them force their ways in, but the pilots are able to push one out and subdue the other, but they're both wounded in the effort. The captain is incapacitated, so our man, Tobias, is left to handle the situation to make plans for an emergency landing. But the terrorists start threatening to kill passengers if he won't open the door. However, protocol requires that door to remain locked. And so he's sort of faced with this excruciating test of what the, you know, what the right thing to do is. It's a phenomenal performance from Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Like, he's so wonderful in this. And it's a reminder of just what a talented performer he is, because it has been a while since we saw him. So the title 7500, which I didn't know this, that's airline code for a hijacking. So
oh, okay.
Where the title comes from. But it's a really intriguing riff on the kind of locked room thriller sort of vibe. Like, I mean, cause the vast majority of the film runs about 92 minutes. The vast majority of that takes place in the cockpit with any of the interaction between him and the terrorist taking place via the video monitor. You see them on the screen, but they're rarely in the same space, and so that really cramped confines really just sort of amp up the tension in a way that it's stifling in this really powerful way. It just boils over with this intense energy that it's discomforting, but it's also mesmerizing. You can't look away, even though like your muscles are tensing and you're holding your breath and all these things. And again, it's a very stylistically, it's a great accomplishment. And honestly, in less capable hands, it might come off as more of a stunt or a gimmick than anything else. Because again, if you place all your eggs in that sort of stylistic conceptual basket, that's all you've got. But instead, we get something that sort of elevates itself a little bit. it builds on that foundational idea and creates something considerably more impactful. Again, that's largely because Joseph Gordon-Levitt is just, he's great. Like, he's great in this. I mean, it's the degree of difficulty in a performance like this is just massive, because he's, not only is he expected to carry these large stretches just by himself, but you've got this tight spacing so that you can't even really physically engage. So all the engagement, all the connection that he's making with the viewing audience has to come through, you know, facial expression and vocal tone and all that stuff. But he's never, like, anything less than just fascinating to watch. It's impressive. Like, it's, you know, and, like, I've missed seeing him on screen. So it's nice to see him come back. I will say, one could make the argument that maybe it doesn't quite stick to landing. Like, the last 10 minutes or so don't necessarily quite live up to what came before. And if you become conscious of the sort of filmmaking gymnastics that are being undertaken to make this concept work, sometimes you start to see the gears turning a little bit, and that can be distracting for some viewers. Like, it didn't really bother me much, but I know that some people, when they can see the seams like that, like, that's all they see, and so that you sort of lose a little bit of the sort of engrossing nature of the story. But yeah, it's impressive and conceptually engaging. Making a movie that really, like, elicits genuine tension is really hard. And, like, Sheridan and I talked about it. Like, it's like your muscles, like, are tensed up, and you hold your breath at these various moments that are just so striking. And again, without an incredible performance at its center, this movie's probably just, you know, it's just a stunt. But with someone like Joseph Gordon-Levitt at the helm, it's really, really worth your time. Like, if you enjoy these sorts of thrillers, you should really check it out.
Excellent. That sounds good. Like you, I've missed seeing him on the screen, so I got to check that one out. Thank you, Al.
Hey, my pleasure.
Hope you have a good week. Stay safe, and we'll do it again next Monday.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
Give our best to all the animals stretched out on the floor, too.
That's right. You hear that, critters? Rich says hi.
There you go. Thanks, Al.
Okay.
Alan Adams of the Main Edge here on Downtown.